Hello, this is Deirdre Nealon, editor of Upstate's Literary Journal, with this week's offering from the Healing Muse. I've brought an excerpt from a psychologist named Anita Sawyer. She practices in Connecticut. She has written a piece called Undercover Agent, which is about the nervous breakdown and the six-year period of hospitalization she had in 1960. April 1967. One morning, a few months into college, I was on my way to the library when I stopped for a moment on the sidewalk at Broadway and 116th Street. I shifted my stack of books and freed a hand to tuck a loose wisp of hair behind my ear. I wanted to compose myself to make sure I looked normal. I noticed an attractive curly-haired girl walking toward me. "Hey, Anita, what are you doing here?" She was smiling. She sounded enthusiastic. "Hi," I replied with a big grin. I scanned her face and searched my brain for any indication that I'd seen her before, while I prayed for divine intervention and hoped that my pause wasn't lasting too long. "Dear God, who is she?" "Well, what have you been up to?" I ventured. By now, I was feeling disembodied, like a robot reciting a script. She dived into a report on her recent activities. "It's been a while, hasn't it?" I said when it was my turn to talk. She returned to talking about herself, and whenever she looked for something from me, I produced sympathetic phrases that encouraged her to continue. "Yeah, no kidding, he didn't." What looked like a conversation might have qualified, in essence, as a monologue. Like any experienced undercover agent, I was buying time while I gathered strategic information. My concealed identity, former mental patient, returned to the world now 6 years out of step, with almost no memory of life outside an institution. My public persona, congenial local college student, I had just started at Columbia's School of General Studies. I matched my responses to my friend's emotional tone as I noted her age, her dress, and her choice of words. She looked as if she was about my age. Confessing my ignorance was not an option. If I told someone I had lost most of my memory, I would have to explain why. If I said it was due to loads of shock treatments in a mental hospital, the person likely would run as fast as possible in the other direction. I had seen the dismay on faces of those I had told before I knew better. "Anita, have you been in touch with anyone else? Mac? Sarah?" Her question brought me back. I was right. This girl in front of me was a friend from high school. Mac and Sarah had been in my class. I answered her without lying. "No, not recently. What about you?" She took off again with stories about her friends and her adventures. Eventually, I could even figure out who she was. Elaine. She'd been part of a group that had shared most of the honors classes. That time I was lucky. I'd gathered enough clues to identify her by name. I didn't remember any specific incidents involving Elaine and me, but at least I knew her name. "Well, this was fun. Tell the others hi for me when you see them." "Oh, I sure will," Elaine smiled and picked up her book bag and walked away. Over time, I had come to realize that no one could understand my condition of missing memory. I was incomprehensible, as if I were a visitor from another planet with customs known only to myself. So I developed a system to avoid alienating or frightening people I met. If I listened to them carefully, at some point I would hear enough about who the individual was and where he or she came from that I could figure out the context in which they used to know me. After that, I'd make some reference to what I thought we must have in common, and the person would leave satisfied. I learned from this how hungry people are for someone to pay attention to what they have to say, and how little they notice what actually is occurring. I began to feel like an expert in listening. More important, in the process of seeking information to prove I was the person they thought I was, I learned a little bit more about myself, who the Anita was that they had known as their friend.